As we kind of come and now think a bit about supplication, about making time just to bring our requests to God, I want to just share about this morning's message, just for any who weren't here, and as a reminder for those who were. It was kind of a bit of a one thing we must do this year, and it was based on our verse for the year, which you've probably got in your update and is up here on the screens now. And the verse for the year was Colossians 4, 2-6. And it's just actually verse 2 that we focused on this morning, but this whole passage I read this morning, devote yourselves to prayer. That was the message this morning. One thing we must do, we must devote ourselves to prayer this year. Many other things going on, but we must devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And then it goes on and says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may declare it clearly as I should. And then it goes on to talk about our outreach, and that's something we're going to be looking at next Sunday morning on our Back to Church Sunday. So we talk about not only encouraging others to come and hear the word, but also encouraging us to get out there and share the word about the mystery of Christ. So what does it say? It says, well, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Let's do that this week. Let's make the most of every opportunity. Let's let our conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that we may know how to answer everyone. Colossians 4, verses 2-6. And these were just my main points that I said this morning. I said we need to pray as if our lives depended on it. And it's true, our spiritual life does depend on it, and the lives of others also depend on it. I said we need to pray as if we expect God to be at work, because he is. He's always at work around us, and that's that kind of being watchful that we need to do. I said we need to pray as if you've been saved from death, or if you'd won $1 million or something, and that was the kind of thankfulness bit. That we need to have a real attitude in our praying that, wow, God has saved me. And so we were singing that song. And, it's funny, isn't it? Thankfulness isn't just having a big grin on our face and cheery. Sometimes we can be thankful when we're thinking, man, we're almost struck silent by our thankful hearts for what Jesus has done for us. And I love that song. You know, we see him hanging there on the cross. And that is what causes us to be thankful as well. So pray as if you've been saved from death, and then pray as if people really matter to you. And we look there at how we needed to pray for others, and pray with others in mind, just like we've been doing right now. But I said this morning that we'd take some time just to wrestle with that tricky issue of when you're kind of too busy to pray. And it sometimes feels like it, doesn't it? That you can just kind of feel, man, life is so busy, and David's saying we need to pray, and the Apostle Paul says we need to pray, and Jesus is kind of modeling it throughout his ministry and encouraging us to do it. And it's so tempting sometimes to think, well, how are we going to make time for this? And I just want you to turn to one of those passages, just so you can feel like Jesus understands you. Just turn to Luke chapter 4, verse 40-44. This is what was happening with Jesus. Someone shout out a page number from one of those Bibles there, if you've got one. Luke chapter 4, one of the church Bibles. Anyone got a page number there? 1031. 1031. This is a setting Jesus often found himself in. The sun was setting, Luke 4 verse 40. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on them, on each one he healed them. Amazing. Wonderful. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, you are the Son of God. Wish we had time to talk about Jesus and his sonship of God. He's God come to earth. But he rebuked them and wouldn't allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. Isn't that interesting that Jesus didn't want evil spirits to bear testimony to him? He wanted people to bear testimony to him and what he was doing. And at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. And the people were looking for him. And when they came to him, where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. You know, in the midst of that busy schedule, Jesus had everyone looking for him. What does he do? 42, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. So I thought it would be good just in this moment to hear a few testimonies of people in different kind of situations in life who just are struggling with busyness, but also kind of are struggling to think, I would love to try and make time for prayer. And maybe just to hear some of their struggles, but also maybe to hear some things that might be helpful for us. So if you've kind of said you're willing to do a testimony, Steve, I think you said you were, and Adam's kind of speaking on behalf of his wife. Sarah. Not that I don't want to hear Adam, and Adam's life isn't busy, but I just thought that would be a nice perspective there. Annie, you said you might be willing to come up, and Wendy, you said you might be willing to come up as well. So just give these guys a bit of a hand of encouragement. And really, this is one of the things with Adam being up. Maybe we'll let Adam go first. Maybe that's a mistake. I don't know. But one of the things is actually it's quite hard to find sort of mums with small-age kids who can even make it out to a thing like an evening service. And that's part of the struggle. So Adam very kindly is speaking on Sarah's behalf. So Adam, maybe you just want to share first.
Two to five minutes. It's quite funny. When Dave phoned up about busy lives, I was feeding Jude whilst listening to the Luton Liverpool commentary. Well, the dog was trying to lick Jude's face. And Sarah was cleaning the kitchen floor. And Lana's running around naked with the Sif kitchen spray.
Alana's their 2.5-year-old daughter, just before you get any ideas.
Going a bit gung-ho. So I thought, yeah, kind of apt, really. I'm speaking on behalf of my wife, Sarah. She looks like that, if you don't know who she is. But actually, I've just realised she's in fellowship with an interview with Rebecca and Jess, if you don't want to have a look at her. But she's bigger than that in real life. My wife, Sarah, has written some notes for me, so I won't go off script. Just to put in space, she's a mother of two small children at the moment. Really, ignore me. And she's also a veterinary surgeon, and she currently works self-employed as a veterinary surgeon in Burgess Hill, three different practices, about 3 days a week, and she kind of leaves at 7 and gets back at 7. And then is busy the rest of the time. It says here, the obstacle's very tricky. The days start early, about 5 a.m. Tell me about it. And the children demanding and finding a moment to think and be still is often a challenge because they never nap at the same time. She says she's realised the need to pray, the challenges of each day, and the need to seek God's guidance in the decisions that she makes as a parent and the needs beyond our family. And when Alana was born, she kind of had a realization of not just praying for the here and now, but the importance to pray for the future as well. The mechanisms of praying are quite difficult in this day. She prays arrow prayers when she takes a moment to step back from a situation, cat castrate or a toddler tantrum. And just to assess the situation and then kind of, you know, pray. She prays in the car regularly. And we have a little Cocker Spaniel who's mental. And she uses the opportunity when walking the dog with the children to pray out loud. Because she finds if she doesn't pray out loud, then, you know, there's a dog poo to pick up and the kids run off. And so she tends to walk on secluded parts of the beach. Otherwise, people think she's a nutter. But she tries to involve the kids in praying as well to make it a conversation with God. And also when she puts the children to bed or when we go and calm them in the night and kind of stroke them back to sleep, it's a good time for her to pray, particularly for them. And also meal times and times throughout the day when we go and see people with the children. She recommends a book that I was supposed to bring with me but I forgot, called Barefoot in the Kitchen. Mm. And if you want to know more about that, ask my wife, which she says is good and is about a mother and the difficulties, which can often be a spiritually barren time when you've got young children because you just, you know, you never wash and, you know, you're... I've been looking after them all this week on my own. I haven't washed. But also the blessings of prayer. She was looking for a new job and nothing was coming up. And then a few weeks ago, three jobs in the same place came on the same day. Which is a real blessing. Before Alana was born, they told us that she would probably have Down syndrome and that if not, she'd have facial abnormalities and all that kind of stuff. That was quite a testing time, really. And lots of prayer went to that. And she's beautiful. So that's just her testimony.
Thanks, Adam. And this is Wendy. Very different situation, but also a busy lady.
I'm not married, I don't have children, but I do have quite a busy life, partly because I find it very hard to say no when people ask me to do things. For those that don't know, I work full-time. I'm involved in some ministries in the church, and I also study distance learning, which is a bit of a challenge. And somewhere in there, I need to pray, because if I don't pray, I fall apart. I've learned that living a 45-minute walk away from my work is a blessing. It's a gift God has given me because I can walk to work and I've got 45 minutes of praying to God while I walk to work. But I've also learned that praying isn't just the long stretches of prayer. It's the little bits of prayer when you really need help now and you can't compose a nice, fancy, wordy prayer. You just say, Lord, help now, please, thank you, amen. It's a discipline of finding time, of making time to pray. It's not just, oh yeah, I've got to pray today, sometime today. It's that finding time, and it's for finding time in the places where you wouldn't actually have thought of them before. One of the things which has now become my most precious time with God is probably 2-3 o'clock in the morning. I don't sleep very well, so I wake about 4 or 5 times at night, and sometimes I can actually be awake for half an hour to an hour. And I can either sit in there rolling in my bed and trying to fall asleep, or I can choose to say, right, Lord, you and me, here we are, let's pray together. And that's been a huge lesson to me, to look in every situation, to consciously look and find time to pray. But it's not just about praying me and God on my own praying with God, but I've also found the preciousness, the value of praying with another Christian person or corporately a group of people together. And that has a special blessing of its own as well. All I can say is just pray, just find the time. It doesn't matter where you find the time, just find it.
Thanks, Wendy. That's great. This is Steve. Again, very different situation, but also busy.
I hate to waste time. I just love to be racing for trains and planes and whatever. And I love sort of diving under the last moment because I feel as if I've wasted no time at all. And the result is that very often things get in the way of my racing, and so often God engineers circumstances that I cannot get there in time. I remember I was once going to Glasgow and I missed the plane. And I thought, oh my goodness, a new client. And in fact, it gave me time to read the file for the very first time. And I got to Glasgow about 2 hours late, and I radioed across the speaker for a man that I was meant to meet. And this chap turned up, and I spent 5 minutes apologizing for being late. And then he said, which Mr. Chapman are you after? And realized that he was the wrong man I'd been apologizing to. What I have found is that God engineers my circumstances and my timing. And I used to find that very often working in Finchley, I've run a surveying practice for over 30 years. If I was not finding time to spend time with the Lord, he would arrange it. And either, in fact, there'd be a morning I'd be in the office, and I would just know he was saying, you've got to spend time with me now. It would be that clear. I'd have a heavy schedule, but I'd just know in my spirit that if I didn't go and spend time with the Lord that very day, I'd be stuck. Things wouldn't happen. And there was a retreat center near us in Mill Hill, and I'd just ring up a lady there, and I'd go there for the day. And by 6 o'clock, when I'd just prayed and fasted all day, I wouldn't want to leave. Because I was so enjoying the Lord's presence. But those days were few and far between. But I have found that there have been times when the Lord has allowed things, whether it's a pull back or whatever, when I've squeezed him out, and he's been saying quite clearly to me, now, I enjoy having time with you. And so what I now try and do is, at lunchtimes, go for a walk, because I found that the Lord really enjoys my presence. And that may amaze you, and it may amaze you that God enjoys your presence. But you know, God loves us to spend time with him. When David rang late this afternoon, to ask if I'd just say a few words tonight, I went up to one of my bedrooms to pray, and I just said, Lord, quick, I need a word for tonight. And he was just saying, you'll get it. Come on, just trust me. You've spoken enough times now just to trust. And what he says, I think, to all of us is, look, trust me with your time. Mm. Tithe your time to me. There is no better time than first time in the morning, I believe, for all of us. And I'm not an early morning type. Ask my wife. Sue wakes up and she's awake instantly. And I'm normally fully awake by about 2 p.m. most days. And so getting out of bed early in the morning, but like Wendy, often I'm working by 4 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning. And by the time I've fully woken up and realized God's saying, just spend half an hour with me. Those times are never wasted. And I prefer the phrase, I'm too busy not to pray.
Hmm. Amen. Thanks, Steve. And Annie, do you want to just come and share as well?
Well, I often feel that the term middle-aged describes being in the middle of all the generations. And one of the things that I juggle with is having my children still at home and my parents that I have responsibility for as well as having a job. So I guess I do find life quite busy. But I just really echo what Steve has said. I'll be real confession tonight. I love praying with other people. I love praying for people. Don't find that a problem. And I'm always really privileged if someone comes and asks me to pray for someone or for themselves. I don't find that difficult, but I'm hopeless at giving that time to God. I'm really a Martha, and I really agree with what Steve's just said, that it struck me this morning, David, when you were talking about, you know, the angel Gabriel ringing up and saying, can you make a bit of time for the creator of the universe? That, you know, I find it really difficult to be Mary and just to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him and to read his word. And I agree with, like Steve, I find if I don't start off, there's so many other things to do, aren't there? You know, go downstairs, start getting ready for the day. I'm very good at multitasking, so I do it all. And then guess what? Time to rush out to work and no time with God. So please pray for me. I need that help and I need to put that time with God first, just like when we tithe, what it means is giving that gift first to God, and then everything else is his as well, but we've given that to him. We need to give that time to him. And that is important, but the thing that I've really learnt a lot from other people, having been brought up in a real quiet time tradition, is that time of enjoying God and being able to speak to him all the time. One of the best times I enjoy praying is when I do my drive down to visit my parents in Cornwall once a month. And people often say, oh, it's a really long drive, but I absolutely love it. I listen to tapes and I sing along as I'm driving, which is quite funny in the summer when you're stuck in a traffic jam with the window down, but I don't care what anyone thinks. And I can praise and then really enjoy God's presence. So that's what I found helpful. But it is really important, I think, to, like Steve said, to have that time first for God. And I need that time and I need help with that. So.
Thanks, Annie.
Thank you so much just for those folks being so real about some of the challenges. And look again at Jesus in Luke 5 now. This is moving on from Luke 4. Just to that one verse in verse 16. 5:16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. His time in ministry was so short. Seems like it was just 3 years. The Son of God come to earth for just 3 years. He had eternity to spend with the Father. Surely if there was anyone who kind of actually his priorities should be busyness in doing, it was Jesus. And yet Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. And I just want each one of us, the title tonight, Too Busy to Pray, is a teaser. If we're too busy to pray, we're too busy. And I want each one of us just to think, maybe it's something Adam said, or something Annie said, or Steve said, or something Wendy shared, that there was something practical which she thought, actually, hang on a minute, I need to hear that so I can apply it. I'm just going to read out some things I've practically found helpful, just a short little list, and maybe there's something there that you just need to kind of write down or lodge, one thing that's going to help you practically with not being too busy to pray. First thing I've just put is be realistic. Don't plan to spend 40 minutes tomorrow if actually 5 would mean you do it, but 40 means you don't. Get the 5. I said this morning, book lunch or coffee with God. Journal. One of the things that stops us praying is our minds wander to all the concerns and worries. I tell you what, if you know how to worry, you know how to pray. You just need to remember to ask God for those things. So journal, write them down. pray while doing things. Many have talked about that when driving, when having a shower, when looking after the children, when going for a walk. Use patterns of prayer. We've gone through one this evening. Acts. There's others just saying, please, sorry, thank you. Use just simple patterns of prayer. Use the Lord's Prayer. Great pattern of prayer. Use prompts. Do you have things around you that just prompt you to pray? We have a map in our house. It's a prompt to pray. We have the sea down the end of the road. It's a prompt to worship. You know, I come into this building because it's a prompt to pray for you folks. Use prompts for prayer. Use the prayers of others. Have you ever actually just got a prayer book of someone else that they've written down prayers and just started using some of their prayers? I've got Dave Reese to bring next week a whole bunch of books that I found really helpful in just praying the prayers of others. It's kind of helped me grow in my praying. Why not use the prayers of others as little springboards for your prayer? Schedule time to pray with others. At the beginning of your home group, say, I'm going to pray. Or come to 5:45 on a Sunday when we gather for prayer, or for God seekers on a Thursday at 10 o'clock. Get time praying as a family. Pray with friends. Get a rhythm of prayer. That's one of the things I spoke about this morning, just having a rhythm for prayer in your life. And it's something that doesn't come tomorrow. Work on that this year, whether it's individual or corporately. Let's pray we get a rhythm of prayer. We know, okay, this is what my year of prayer looks like. Like Annie talked about, once a month she gets that good long time with God. And then if she gets snatched times throughout the days, you know, there's this time where she knows she's going to get a rhythm of prayer. Father, help us in our praying. Help us in our listening. Help us as we reach out to the nations. Lord, send revival, we pray, Lord. We're asking for something that only you can do. Lord, start with the children and youth, even in our city. And God, do something that touches the nations, for there's so many still in our world who need to hear of you. Lord, we long for that day when you will appear. But Lord, we pray before then, God, help us to move in faith. Help us to be close to you. For there is that day, Lord. We praise you. We worship you. May we be ready for that day, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.